be up to date with the latest Australian indie music as we bring you tracks that are straight out of the recording studios across Australia. The Oz Indie Show, covering new Australian music every Wednesday from 3 to 5pm, only on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
Seven past four, the Oz Indie Show, and today with me I've got Ali Cook, and as she talks, you have a guess where she's from.
Well, I suppose I could tell them I'm from across the Dutch. So that'll six and fish and chips.
Fish and
that
chips
should do it.
Now you're sort of stuck there in New Zealand because we don't have the transport happening between New Zealand and Australia properly yet, do we?
I am, and so I normally come back and forth probably 4 to 5, maybe sometimes more times a year,
yeah,
to various festivals. I've done Tamworth now for about 9 years in a row. So, and of course, this year, after 49 years, they're having their first year without Tamworth, so I won't be coming to that. So, yeah, it's kind of, it's been tricky, you know, it's been different, and I certainly am missing my my Australian family over there, you know, my family of musicians and people that I work with. I have a publicity company for music as well as being a musician, so I work every day on the phone and on the internet with Australians. So, yeah, I'm missing it, you know.
It's amazing that this COVID year has happened when we have things like Zoom and all these teleconferencing abilities where we can actually work from home. We can still do things with other people, even in other countries. Imagine, you know, 10 years ago, if COVID had hit, the effect would be horrendous.
Well, I probably would have ended up stuck in Australia then.
Horrible.
I almost actually did get stuck there, I'm sure, because I came back in February, and it was not very long after that the border closed when I made it back in. I was like, well, I better get on the plane and get home. And sure enough, about a week or two later, it closed up.
Mm. Now, Ali, for those who don't know, how did you get into music? You know, was it from a young age as a child, or did you come across it later?
Oh, absolutely. My father was an opera singer with the Guildhall School of Music.
Really?
As a younger fella before they immigrated to New Zealand. So there was always music around the house, and he was an electronics engineer by trade. So he built PAs for people and sound systems and stuff like that. So things were always getting tested on 9. The walls were rattling. It was usually, you know, Vivaldi or Vidor or the Mikado or something like that was playing, or Johnny Cash, or he was a big lover of, that kind of, you know, Johnny Cash. Had a few Slim Dusty records actually as well. Liked a bit of country, liked a bit of classical, and so I was brought up really listening to that. And Glen Campbell, he was a huge, you know, huge Glen Campbell fan as well.
So that influenced the way you went with your music?
Yeah, I think so. I think the fact that I started off with classical piano when I was about 9 or 10 and went through the grades playing classical piano, and then much to my father's horror, picked up a guitar and decided that was a whole lot better and started singing and writing on piano and guitar. Where I've written, I've let songs fall where I write, you know, so I don't... I fall in the country blues roots kind of thing, because I love blues and roots and you know, that kind of music as well. So I guess you call me country blues, because that's probably where I sit really.
I found a number of musicians I've interviewed over the years started off with classical piano, and that helped them. That was a tremendous foundation for their work they moved into after that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, classical piano is so great because, you know, all of the notes are laid out in front of you, and you learn about chordal structure and stuff by looking at it in front of you. Whereas when you're on a guitar, you've really got to think about where that note is on the fretboard. But on a piano, it's all laid out. You know, the sharps and flats are all the black notes. That, you know, you can see the chordal structure and how things are made up, and how sevenths and ninths and sixths and all different kinds of chords work. So I think it is a really good foundation, actually, for understanding musical theory. Not that I was really great at that. It was my weakest point, actually, when I was a classical pianist. I mean, I love to, you know, play by ear, so I would just cheat, basically. I'd just get the piano teacher to play the piece, and I'd look at what note, you know, remember what note she started it on and remember how it went.
Yeah.
And then she'd sort of rip the book away and go, "You're not reading that, you're actually memorising it." And I'm like, oh, well, it's easier to do it by ear than it is to do it off the ear. So my sight reading exams were always a horror.
Yeah. But, yeah, to be able to play by ear would be a huge benefit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge benefit for some parts of it, and it's a huge sort of negative for learning to read music, because you feel it's so much easier to actually do it by ear than it is to actually try and read it. So it is a disadvantage to that point, but an advantage in being able to hear and have relative and perfect pitches, you know, that's helpful. My dad used to turn my back to the piano and play notes when I was like little and get me to tell him what the notes were.
Yeah.
So I grew up doing that. So I grew up, you know, being able to hear that's a D or that's an E or that song's an F or, you know. So that young training worked in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a track lined up to play. It's a relatively recent one, Pretty Enough.
Yeah, now, so this is actually a cover.
Yep.
Yeah.
You often
unusual
do covers?
For me.
No.
This is my third album, and this is the first time I've ever done covers. And so the producer on my record and this work, we ended up putting this song onto my record. Actually, it was never destined for my record, but is Buzz Bidstrup. So most people would know Buzz as the drummer, the first drummer from the Angels. So he co-wrote No Secrets with Doc Neeson, and he went on to be the drummer in Gangajang, and produced lots of albums, managed Jimmy Little for many years, actually. And so they had him and Dave Nicholas, who's another four times ARIA award-winning engineer producer. He used to work at Rhinoceros, so was responsible for lots of albums, like all the In Excess albums and you know, a lot of great Aussie albums. Midnight Oil, he worked on all of those great albums, and they put together this thing called the Asquith Sessions, and I actually managed to spit that out without saying it wrong. It's a place in Sydney, Asquith. Yeah. It's actually near Hornsby, that's where the studio is, and they chose covers for different singers to sing. So they said, well, while you're doing your album, how about you do an Asquith session, and we want you to sing these songs. And so one was Steal Your Love by Lucinda Williams, one was Not Pretty Enough by Casey Chambers, one was Angel from Montgomery, and the other one was I'll Fly Away, which has just been released as a single. And so Not Pretty Enough, my girlfriend is Sharon O'Neill, who was quite well known in Australia and New Zealand in the 80s. You know her, Sharon? Yeah.
Not
okay, so
yeah.
No, but we're from the same town. So we're both from Nelson, New Zealand, and I've sung backing vocals for her for over a lot of years.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, you know, if you want, I can sing something on the album. And I said, well, how about we do this one together?
Yeah.
And she said, I love Casey Chambers. And I was like, right, well, let's I've got to do this cover for the Asquith Sessions, and how about you join me on it? So, and this was the result. Yeah.
Excellent. So here it is, Ally Cook with Not Pretty Enough.
Am I not pretty enough? Is my heart too broken? Do I cry too much? Am I too outspoken? Don't I make you laugh? Should I try it harder? Why do you see right through me?
I've waited long enough. Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
Yes, Not Pretty Enough by Ali Cook, and a bunch of other very talented musicians on that one too. So,
special players.
How that session went?
Yeah, so, the Eswa session, yes, it's a really big thing. You know, nobody wants to be the weakest link in the room, and it was very hard being in that room with all that oozing talent and feel like you're not the weakest link. But they made me feel really at home, and that was, you know, because you had James Gillard on bass from Mondo Rock and Mental as Anything, Buzz on the drums, who's from the Amble Chills Ganga Jang, Rick Malik on keys, who's played with Joe Bonamassa and Elton John and Stuart and countless other people, and Glenn Hanna, the late Glenn Hanna, who's now passed away, but he was an absolutely phenomenal guitarist, played and had actually played with Casey Chambers as well. Glenn had he was the husband of Phyllis Urquhart, well-known Australian country singer, and then we had George Washing Machine on fiddle on the tracks as well, and of course I had Sharon O'Neill in that room. And so it was kind of like everything was laid down all at once. Like often now in recording, things are layered up, you know. My last album, or the last two albums before that, that's how it was done. I went in, I laid down guitar to a click track, I walked away from the session, and all the players came when I wasn't there and put all their bits on, and it's all put together. Well, this was done. I wanted to do it the old-fashioned way, and I wanted to really get the vibe of the room, and so it was done with everybody in the room at the same time, but all in isolated booths, and it was like 1, 2, 3 go, and it was just you laid down the whole song, and you laid down the whole song twice, and then everybody walked in the room and picked the one that the take that had the most energy in it, did a couple of little overdubs, and bang, that was it. Then it was mixed and mastered, and so it's a totally different experience, and one now I don't think I'd move back on. I love doing it that way.
Yeah.
It's something special. There's something about having all the players in the room, and those players were really beautiful, just left space for each other, underplayed everything so that, you know, nobody
was showboating.
Leaving this beautiful space for each other, and you hear the result in the production.
Yeah.
From the playing.
Yeah, true professionals that way too. I mean, if it's all pre-recorded one bit at a time, and then you come in and do your bit, you can feed off what's been done before, but they can't feed off you because you weren't there. Whereas if you're all together doing it, you can relate to what each other's doing.
And that was the thing that I recall Rick saying to me, I said, being in this room with all you guys, and he went, hey, we're playing to you. You're leading this show, he said. You know, like, I was like, audio. And then it was, when I thought about it that way, then I felt them wherever I went. I just felt them go with me. And it was just beautiful. Yeah, it was just a really beautiful experience. And that's what recording should be like, I think.
Yeah. So your latest release that you're pushing at the moment, I'll Fly Away. What is that about?
Yeah, so that was another one that Buzz chose. Yes, well, that is in fact the most recorded country gospel track in history, and most people will know it from the film Oh Brother, How Art Thou with George Clooney.
Yeah.
There was the Gillian Welsh, Alison Krauss version is there, and most versions of the song are done in a bluegrass sort of upbeat way, and Buzz Bidstrup had actually sung the song at his mother's funeral.
Right.
And so it was really special to him, and he went, let's do this more like a hymn, more like laid back ballad gospel, and we laid the thing right down. And then Buzz and Kay Bidstrup, his wife, who's also a founding member of Ganga Jang, the three of us just came in, and we just did layers of gospel vocals at the end. So that was the only overdubs, was actually us doing those gospel vocals after the initial recording session had happened. And I really loved the version that we did. I loved that we sort of stripped it back and made it sort of much more gentle and meandering and yeah. So it's a really quite a different version of it. So I thought if I'm going to do, you know, covers, it's got to feel like we're really making them my own, because it's not normal for me to do other people's songs. So, but I really enjoyed these ones. Mm. And I really enjoyed this one.
Okay, so here we go. I'll Fly Away, Ellie Cook.
Celestial shore, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadow of this life have gone, prison walls, I'll fly, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Oz Indie Show, and I'm having a chat with Ellie Cook. We played a couple of her tracks, including that last one, I'll Fly Away, which was a beautiful rendition of that number. I think you really got the feel of what it was about. So, yeah, it was really very nice.
Thank you so much.
Now, apart from being a gifted musician, you're also running a business helping other musicians.
Yeah, well, I have had 35 years in the industry, and I've got to say I'm lucky enough to have a day gig that means that I've worked full-time in the music industry all of my life. So I started as a tour coordinator in the 80s and worked my way through to being a publicist. And then in recent times, through, you know, doing my own albums, I was a late starter. I put out my first album at 47, so I crowdfunded and I learned to put out, you know, do it for myself. And then people started gradually coming to me, and then I formed a partnership with my friend Therese McKee in Sydney, and we formed Key Two Artist Promotions, and now we look after releases now on, we've probably done about 50 different artists that we look after that come round and release their stuff through us. And so we arrange all their radio interviews and write up their press releases and do all sorts of stuff, and so helping lots of other indie artists as well, and also promoting the indie radio stations and presenters like yourself to the world as well, because we're sort of, it's a symbiotic relationship where we need each other, because we sure as hang aren't going to get, you know, commercial airplay. So that great thousands of community radio people are just wonderful throughout Australia, people who volunteer like yourself at radio stations and have shows. And we as indie artists, you know, relate to that, and we have this symbiotic thing. So I guess when someone was asking me about it the other day, I said that we actually promote both. We promote the artists that we're working for, but we also promote those indie shows, because we can't do that. We can't do without them, and the artists can't do without them. So, yeah, I enjoy getting the artist stuff out there and getting their clips on CMT and, you know, getting their getting their music out there played on radio and getting them into interviews. It's good.
Yeah. Now, I presume looking after artists and their itineraries and then bookings and doing all the nuts and bolts stuff, I presume we've gone past the days where they throw television sets out of hotel windows and drive Rolls Royces in the pools. And
well, I could tell you some very crazy stories, but none of them I'm allowed to tell you about famous people. not yet. I could write that tell-all book, as you said, off air, but I'd have to wait until they were all dead for that. Well, you don't get that behaviour with indie artists, really, because you wouldn't survive very long in the indie world if you allowed your ego to take you over to that level. But certainly I have in the major industry as a tour coordinator looking after big major tours, seen some pretty amazing behavior out of famous people, let's put it that way. All that stuff is true, you know. Just the way people handle the pressure of staying on the road and being away from their families, and you know, there are explosive moments, I guess, where people did chuck televisions out of windows. But in the independent world, you can't behave like that, or you won't get any radio interviews, and you certainly won't get any gigs, and you certainly won't get to stay at the hotels anymore.
Now, you're looking after both Australian and New Zealand artists?
Yes, I am. Yep. So we work both sides of the Tasman. So we have a lot of New Zealand artists that release across in Australia, and I guess that's because of that big community network that you've got that we can put them on. And Tamworth, for the last 3 or 4 years up there, I've been running the international showcase up there for the council and doing the gold guitar showcase, organising, coordinating all of that, and getting the bands and sorting out who's playing what and all charts and all that sort of stuff, and organising those big shows that happen there for the Kiwis. So I've sort of been part of pushing the Kiwi agenda across in Australia, and likewise I've had some Australians come over and play over here too. So let's hope the Trans-Tasman bubble opens up so that we can get back to normal.
And presumably we've also gone past the days where Australia claims all the Kiwi artists as their own.
Yeah, I don't mind being claimed a little bit. I think it's kind of like okay. You know, I it's part of the thing, isn't it? It's a funny old world. Jeez, you even won the rugby a wee while back then. I was like, what? What? They actually beat the All Blacks? And then the next day in the paper, the All Blacks were slaughtered, and then next time they slaughtered the Wallabies again. So it was kind of, it's a funny old thing, that friendly rivalry, but I love it. It's kind of like, I mean, people give me stick, but I can give it back just as much. But, you know, I love it. But I guess I've been used to it over the years, you know, like I said, going back to the 80s, I was touring up and down the Queensland coast with bands, and I sort of have always had one foot either side of the water. That's just the way it's been. I love it, and I do miss it. I do really miss it at the moment, and I really feel for Aussie Kiwi families, and I know there's a lot of them out there, because when I come across on the plane you know, quite often on school holidays, I would see unaccompanied minors going in both directions. And I've been thinking a lot about them, like, how would that be if Dad's in Australia right now and you're used to flying over and doing school holidays with him and you haven't seen him for a year? Like, it must be affecting that whole bubble, not having the Trans-Tasman bubble must be really affecting lots of families who can't get to each other. I just, I really feel for people.
At least both countries are working hard to get rid of restrictions and everything at the moment, and New Zealand led the way, and they've done such a great job, so well done.
Yeah, well, I think, you can certainly see it's the same with the quarantine facilities in Australia as it is in New Zealand. Just the sheer volume of people that are coming in that are actually coming down with it, it actually shows you, like, we are living in Australia and New Zealand really in a bubble from the rest of the world anyway. It's not near as bad here as it is in other Western countries. So we're pretty fortunate that we have all that water around us and we're at the bottom of the earth. All of a sudden it's become a real advantage having a moat around you.
Absolutely. Now, how can people find you on the internet?
All right, so I've got a website, which is Ali Cook. So that's Ali with a Y, Cook without an E, and it's .com.au. AliCook.com.au is my website. And also on Facebook, Ali Cook, Ali Cook Music. Come find me there. Kiwi Ali on Twitter, and Ali Cook NZ on Instagram. So, I've got all of that social media stuff going on, and we need it now.
Yes, absolutely. All right, well, thank you very much, Ali. It's been brilliant talking with you.
Thank you so much. It's been great to come on the station because I've not had the chat on here before, so I'm very, very pleased with that.
No worries. We will have you again.
Thank you.